You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
Triangle Tire, Tires for Life presents Dave's Corner Garage. The following is a paid program. Opinions expressed can sometimes be accompanied by hand gestures, which your sister may find offensive, but you think are hilarious. There's one in every family. Buckle in, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your top-down, wind-in-your-hair, Saturday morning automotive thrill ride. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, but right now, love us on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning, Al.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm well. I was explaining to somebody this morning that a spinning tire,
yes,
when you're accelerating, is a slightly spinning tire is a little quicker
than what?
Than one that's not slipping.
And okay, but that has got to be has something to do with traction.
It does. It's we're getting really esoteric and maybe even pedantic. It's a little nerdy, but a sliding tire, whether it's accelerating or cornering, is actually a little faster.
Okay, the tire is turning faster, but is it propelling you faster?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay,
yes,
okay, okay, because that's important.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you can carry more speed through the corner. Now, when it's sliding a lot, like doing a big burnout, that's not so quick.
Okay, so here's my question. All cars come with traction control now.
Yeah, they do.
So do they let it slip that little bit, or they don't?
They don't. Some are really aggressive.
Okay.
Like the Genesis SUV I'm driving today.
Right.
The standard traction control setting is very aggressive.
Okay.
But a lot of sports cars, they'll let you play a little bit.
And yes, yes. My buddy used to have an M5.
Yes.
That when it wasn't in the shop or leaking oil everywhere.
Right.
It had a launch button.
Yes.
A launch control. And I said, what's a launch control? He said, oh, it's what you press this button and then all those extra things, the traction and ABS, will go away and let you do whatever you want to that car using your gas pedal and your brake.
Mm-hmm. Just like the old days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so you're exhaling from your explanation now that launch button, aside from just allowing you to be crazy,
yes,
and making way too much noise in the neighborhood, will actually get you to accelerate quicker.
Well, this is the thing. So okay. a lot of these new cars, mm-hmm, will be engineered. They're engineered with the tire that comes on the car. They're not doing anything crazy.
Right.
And when, like BMW's M division or Porsche or Corvette, right, or whatever, they will engineer that system to allow a little bit of wheel spin and acceleration and a little bit of slip when you're cornering at the extreme ends of things. Yeah.
Okay. So there, it is built in.
Yeah.
But only to those high tech kind of cars.
Yes, exactly.
Well, speaking of tires, we got a couple of tire experts coming on the show today.
Yeah, it's all about tires.
It is. You know, we're going to have David Pula from Triangle Tire on a little later. And, actually, I wanted to say that Gary was so excited because he won the set of tires that Triangle provided.
Yes.
I'm not sure what he put on, whether it was winter or summers, or shouldn't say summers, winters or all season.
Triangle has summer tires as well.
Oh, do they?
They do, not just all seasons.
Yes, and then matter of fact, they have a huge line of off-the-road vehicles.
Yeah,
big truck tires and stuff, very important.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, I was just reading something about... Oh, some crazy comedian was talking about getting in shape and doing this routine where they got her. She has to pull her girlfriend in a big truck tire across the parking lot. You know, it's supposed to be fun. She says it wasn't fun for the person pulling. Certainly fun for the person in this big tire.
Sure.
And did it get it any fitter? No, but she's a lot fatter now. She says, but I don't care anymore. So there you go.
That doesn't sound like fun at all.
So we were talking about rolling resistance or none if the tire's not rolling, if it's just being dragged through the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it is important that temperature has a lot to do with how the tire sticks.
Yep.
And but apparently you do want to slip a bit.
And when you're in a performance driving situation.
All right. Well, I'm in a performance mood for myself this morning, and Ashley's here doing her best as usual, and Brian's here, of course. He's all wound up. We're going to take a break and come right back after these messages. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max with Alan Gelman on this beautiful sunny Saturday. Going to do a little driving. maybe out to the countryside.
You going to make a video?
Going to film a YouTube episode.
Now I notice you still call it film.
Yes. There's no film involved.
No film
all.
Involved.
No, no, it's all electrons.
No, exactly. It's like, yeah, we're going to record. Well, in fact, because I people said, you still call it recording? And I said, well, yes, but you're not. It's not going on vinyl. It's not going on tape, so to speak.
That's right.
Right,
it's
right.
It's all electrons.
It is being captured somehow.
Yes, yes.
All right.
And we were talking about this earlier. I put out on all of my social media, including mm-hmm. YouTube, about what makes people terrible drivers.
Yes.
So everybody seemed to respond, including you, Al.
Well, there was huge response.
Yes.
I couldn't believe it. But I noticed, of course, a lot of your followers are people who are automotive journalists, number one.
Well, there's some automotive
There was a couple
media.
That were like, wow, hang on. Were they paying per word on this?
Yeah, no kidding.
Because there wasn't even enough on that one space. They had to come back a second time.
Well, what I discovered is everybody who drives has an opinion about other drivers.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, and it's funny, you know, we call them drivers, but they're not necessarily pilots. They're just, you know, yes, they're behind the wheel.
Yeah, they're not doing, there's a lot who are not doing much else. And
no.
As we were saying earlier, driving for a lot of people is the distraction.
Well, exactly, because it's just me wanting to get from here to there.
Yeah.
You know, so the fact that I have to get behind the wheel is an inconvenience, and if I had the money and desire, I'd just call Uber and let someone else do it, right?
Exactly. But then, you know...
not that they're any better drivers.
This is what I was going to say. And unfortunately for me, when I get in an Uber, I just have to bite my tongue because it's impossible for me to ride in an Uber or a cab where the driver is better than I am.
Well, you know, it's kind of, I wonder, because, you know, in the window sometimes you'll see an Uber or a Lyft sticker
yes.
to tell you that they're one of those drivers. And I'm thinking, does that mean I should try to avoid them or expect
generally,
constant stops?
It's a safe bet. If you see one of those, you should avoid that driver.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if that person was well in control and knew where they were going, it'd be one thing. But the problem is a lot of times they're not, you know, and they're dependent on the screen in front of them,
mm-hmm.
which hopefully is up in the dashboard, not down in his crotch.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got it programmed to with the right address on it.
Right, exactly.
Because I've certainly seen that, you know, where somebody's going 20 kilometers under the limit,
mm-hmm.
and they're playing with the screen.
Of course.
Now, what's the benefit? You know, like screens are not, manufacturers. You do new cars all the time, and
yeah.
I'm sure the one thing you've noticed is that screens are being bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yes.
So is that an advantage?
It is when it comes to the map,
uh-huh.
And that's really what you should be looking for or looking at when you're driving one of these new cars.
Right.
But of course, they've got so many menus, and they've got so many things you could possibly look at. Like
mm-hmm.
performance cars have all these meters on them, like G meters or like accelerometers, right?
Right.
But then, of course, you've got complicated menus as well, and some cars will not let you access them while you're in motion. Other cars will.
Yes, we have one of those, and you know, it, same thing. Like, this is GPS, and as soon as it sees you moving, it will not let you do anything.
Yeah, exactly. And on top of that, a lot of these new cars do have voice command. So you can tell it exactly what you want it to do, and they're very good. I mean, this technology has been around for many, many years, and now it's very good. So you can tell that you want the navigation system to direct you to a certain address, and it'll take care of it for you.
Even on the go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, it won't make you stop first.
No, no, no.
Okay,
no.
I didn't know
yeah.
it could do that.
And then they have heads-up display. A lot of them have heads-up display, so you can see the navigation instructions on the windscreen. So it works if you use the technology properly.
No, exactly. Like I say, I'm embarrassed to say that I'd never read the manual, and I'm sure my car will do way more things than I even know about.
Yeah, probably. And you know, there are some things where I, especially with new cars, I have to spend some time trying to understand because it's not obvious how that particular piece of technology is controlled.
It is amazing to me that, you know, why people, they don't get together on this stuff. As a matter of fact, I was just reading an article and they were celebrating the fact that on the technical side of things, the car companies are going to be getting together for, you know, making universal trouble codes. And I went, hang on, we did this 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
What's the deal? And apparently, everybody who's producing electric vehicles
yes.
has not conformed to that standard.
No, of course not. And, you know, some of them are buying their inverters from a third-party supplier. Uh-huh. Some of them are developing their own inverters. This is just one example.
Right.
So you can't have, you're not going to have commonality in that situation, right? Where you know, one manufacturer is developing their own inverters and their own technology, and another one is buying from a third party.
But at the same time, I mean, all we need to know from these devices is, you know, is it turning? What's the RPM? What's the temperature at? And those things can be very similar in nature as far as how you're picking up that information.
Sure, they can. But then individual manufacturers are going to assemble or engineer their vehicles with different control systems, and some will have more ECUs
right.
Throughout the car. You know, some of the latest high-end cars have 100 ECUs on board. Mm. So how are you gonna standardize that?
Well, again, you know, I mean, as a technician, you want to know what's working or not working, and
yes.
you know, or what's, you know, again, you know, what the parameters are, and you can establish guidelines for that. I think you ought to. I mean, is it a case of they don't want to spend the money, or they just want to force the buyer to come back to them for service?
I think there's a concerted effort to make sure that the customer comes back to that particular dealer to get their car serviced.
They got you by the short ones there, eh?
They may.
All right, we got to take a break. Enough of this excitement. Listen to some commercials, and then we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max with Ellen Gelman, and it is a beautiful, beautiful Saturday.
It is, but the sun is out, but the road temperature is cold. Mm-hmm. And I did look at my phone today and looked at the weather report. And sure enough, this week I think we'll be okay, but it says that we may get some of the white stuff in about a week from now.
That sounds about right.
Right, and in fact, what we're going to talk about with Jack is to get off your butt and make a phone call and say either set up an appointment or take your car in to get done. Actually, I'm laughing at the – I don't know if you've seen that Mr. Lube commercial where the lady comes up to the lube joint and says, listen, you got time to put my tires on right now? And the guy says, yeah, I think we can get you in. And then, of course, what happens, the punchline at the end is when she goes to get paid, she throws him a bag of money because she's obviously just robbed a bank. And she's going, it's okay, keep the change. And then there's a siren happening. So,
all right.
She needs the good traction to get away.
Exactly. Well, Jack Benzikar is calling in a little bit later. And yeah. Tire Butler, his business, is pretty unique. Very, very, very different. Not quite a tire shop. So, if you need your winter tires changed, you can give Tire Butler a call. Jack will explain a little bit later.
That's if you have a car.
That's if you have a car. If your car's been stolen, however, you might be in trouble.
Right. And if it was a Honda CR-V, I don't know why 220, but 2020, but that's the number one car that's being stolen right now.
Yep.
But a lot of it, too, and I was looking over the numbers because, you know, we think of certain cars that get stolen. As a matter of fact, I did was in touch with Mitch, who was the unhappy Lexus owner.
Yes, that's right.
That we had on a few weeks ago, and his car was not recovered.
Yes.
And he's driving another kind of car now.
Exactly. So, yeah, he was a Lexus RX, if I remember correctly, and that's number two on the list of most stolen vehicles in Ontario.
Yeah, he said that he and a whole bunch of other Lexus owners, according to him, are not buying Lexus products. I mean, for that simple reason that... Mm-hmm. You know, they're number one on the stolen list. The manufacturer or the dealers were not offering any type of extra security.
Mm-hmm.
So unless, you know, you could park it in a car or leave your dog inside of it, you know.
Right. Well, this is the thing. And you know, these vehicles are getting stolen from people's driveways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, my neighborhood, Midtown, you know, not a poor neighborhood at all. Mm-hmm. People don't park their cars in their garages. They leave them out, and vehicles are stolen in my neighborhood all the time they're left outside.
I think what was deceiving from the list is because they showed the number of vehicles that were stolen,
mm-hmm.
but it's really the percentage, which is more important number for you to look at, okay, in
yes.
terms of, I mean, obviously the 2020 Honda CR-Vs were stolen number one because that's the biggest number of cars that are out there.
That's right.
Same thing, like with the pickup trucks. They're all, you know, number two and number three were Ford and Dodge.
Yeah.
they're getting stolen because there's hundreds of thousands of those out there.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they're easy to steal. But in fact, the percentages were way down. The higher numbers were on the Lexus RX, the Highlander, and your favorite one, almost 4% was on the Land Rovers.
Yeah, well, that is, what is the Range Rover? Almost 6%. Of Range Rovers, of 2020 Range Rovers in Ontario,
get stolen. That's a huge number,
it's a huge percentage. I mean, it was a total of over 1,200 cars,
mm-hmm.
and of course they get shipped overseas, and of course we hear about the police breaking up these theft rings and all that stuff, but most of them go unrecovered. And it's still difficult to get a new one, so. This is a great example of what goes on in my neighborhood. People leave their Range Rovers outside, and they do get stolen. And all they have to do is park their $120,000-$130,000 SUV in a garage.
Right, except in your neighborhood, it's an older one, and the garages are smaller. I mean, I knew somebody with where the space between the houses, because the garage was kind of in the back.
Yeah,
there wasn't enough room to get through.
Sure.
Perhaps in the old horse and buggy days, there was a room for a 2x2 to get through. Yeah. But not anymore. But that's something that you got to consider, and you have to do your most. But and again, now I don't know. Does Land Rover or Range Rover, do they offer any type of extra electronic security?
No. All of these vehicles come the way they come, and unfortunately, criminals have figured out ways how to break into these vehicles and start them electronically.
Yeah, right. And then, but here, Mitch, spent some extra money, dealt with a company that he had dealt with before,
mm-hmm.
to put in an extra unit that, mm-hmm. that the guy, the bad guy who shows up with the laptop can't bust into.
Right.
And next thing you know, he's in a huge fight with the manufacturer. They said, you modified your vehicle and we're not giving you warranty.
Right. Well, that was a comprehensive installation of that system that he installed. So mm-hmm. unfortunately, it sounds like the folks that installed it. Didn't know quite what they were doing with the electronics of that car. I'm not quite sure of the details, but they did the work, then it doesn't work. So,
well, that's what it looked like on the surface. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no. See, Mitch did have he also had a Camry.
Yes.
And they had put one in that, and then he'd driven it for 2 years without an issue. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, in terms of protecting your vehicle, mm-hmm. and if you're in the kind of situation where you got to park it outside, well, there's lots of things to do. Security cameras and all that stuff aren't going to prevent anything. They're just going to provide a great film of somebody stealing your car. But there are a bunch of things that you need to do. And the number one thing I'd recommend for people is to install the club. Remember those?
Yeah, and they're cheap, like $35 or something.
Exactly. And what that's going to do is going to slow a thief down. Yeah, they might go to somebody down the road, but they're probably not going to take your car.
And ultimately, too, if your other car is a beater,
yeah,
or one that's not high on your list,
yes,
park that behind the good one.
There's another great idea.
Easy to do. All right, we're going to jump out right now. And actually, I guess we're going to have David after the break. I'm getting the big smile, the big wink. We're good. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max with Alan Gelman. And speaking of Dave's, joining us on the phone is David Puller from Triangle Tire.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Very good. You must be a bustling joint there, eh?
Yeah, it's things are moving pretty quickly now here. We've seen a huge increase over the last few weeks heading into the winter season, so it's been pretty good.
Excellent, excellent. But I would think for the most part, your work, starts probably 6 months prior, in terms of anticipating what you're going to need as a distributor?
Yeah, typically, like even on the manufacturing side, you're always working about 6 months out. But then at the same time, we do have warehousing in Canada, so we do provide dealers with fill-in business opportunities for items that they might need to top up on. So October, November, December are pretty busy, to say the least. So,
excellent. So it's important for people to put on winter tires.
It definitely is. And you know what? I was just listening into the last segment there about the vehicles going missing and such. And
mm-hmm.
you know what? Shout out to my good buddy Jack and the Tire Butler crew. I heard that if you've got one of their trucks behind one of your vehicles changing tires, it's probably a scapegoat for theft as well. So given the time of year, you get our tires changed over, get those winters on.
Mm-hmm. And as far as, again, not so much supply, but as far as sizes, you know, because that was what I found pretty crazy. I mean, in the old days, you know, it was basically three sizes, 13, 14, and 15. And now there's like a multitude. And then, of course, we get to the situation where, you know, you've got to start changing up sizes of wheels and tires, upsizing or downsizing. You guys have full coverage that way, do you?
We do. And over the last few years, the sizing does vary. You can get one given vehicle that comes with up to four different sizes now, whether it's a 16, 17, 18, and sometimes even 19-inch wheel packages, right? So when it comes to changing the sizes, typically when you get more premium vehicles or premium options, you're going to get your 18 and 19-inch packages.
Mm-hmm.
When looking at changing over to winters, sometimes you'll benefit in the price point of the tire by actually reducing the rim size. So you're not changing the overall diameter, the rolling diameter of the tire and wheel. So you're just shifting to a little bit more rubber, a little bit more sidewall, and it'll provide you with some cost savings. So.
And not only that, I do that on my cars, David. I do a minus one, so I go one wheel size down for winters.
Sure.
And one of the things it does is it provides a slightly more compliant ride through the winter, which is not a bad thing. And also a little bit more rim protection, I suppose.
It does. And you know what, in winter, so for example, when you have those 19-inch packages and your sidewall's pretty small, by downsizing one, having that added sidewall actually allows the tire to shift better for handling purposes. So it's actually going to provide you with a little bit better handling and traction in the winter time.
Oh, really?
Yep, for sure.
Really? Okay, so you're talking about the sidewall, of course, and for those not listening or don't understand it, that's the middle number. So that's your 30, 40, 50 series tire.
That's correct.
So, of course, your 19 for the most part is going to be a 40 or 50 series, where the other size could be, bigger. But you're saying that you do want the sidewall to move a little bit more.
So what that does is when the vehicle's turning,
yep,
the added sidewall ratio is actually going to allow that tire to shift, mm-hmm, which will actually allow you to maintain a little bit more contact patch on the roadway, which is going to build your momentum with traction.
Now, sorry, is that more for winter, or are you talking all year round?
More for winter. I mean, if you're looking at the F1 series, for example, right now, mm-hmm, they're moving at high speeds. They want a nice stiff tire that's not going to shift.
Right.
But when looking at everyday driving and you have a slight shift in the sidewall, that'll maintain your contact patch. That'll help you dig through that snow and maintain asphalt traction.
I'm good to know that because, see, my wife would always bug me to change the tires, and I much preferred the ride of the winter tires on her car, you know, especially with the road conditions.
And these Toronto roads, right? I mean,
yeah, because I'm one of the good guys that actually drives in the curb lane.
Yeah, there you go.
But unfortunately, that's where all the manholes are.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, you're jarring the teeth right out of you. So who nobody likes that, Brian?
Again, we've got we're almost here. We're probably a week or two away from some snow. So if folks haven't started looking at winter tires, it's time to start looking at winter tires. And it's not just the temperature. Obviously, winter tires, as we talk about often, are suited to winter temperatures, but it's a lot more than that, isn't it?
It definitely is. And when looking at a winter tire versus, let's say, an all-season tire, there are different compounds that are used in the manufacturing of those tires. So what that allows is a softer compound is going to perform better in colder temperatures. So perfect example, a day like today where it's beautiful, sun shining, you know, we might reach 10 to 12 degrees during the day, but at night, we're looking at -2, -3. So anything really under 7 degrees, even though there isn't snow just yet, mm-hmm, a winter tire will provide you that added safety and a little bit more flex within the tire, given the cold temperatures on the roadways.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, Brian and I both follow racing quite a bit, and we're certainly in tune with that. If you watch a Formula One race, you're going to see the cars go by, and the sidewalls will be red or green or yellow. And that's just not a styling cue. That's actually the temperature that tire was designed to adhere to, right?
Exactly. And, I mean, they definitely want their tires running hot, added traction. Where in a winter tire, providing those compound changes will allow it. We don't want them getting too hot because then If they get too hot and too soft, that'll expedite the wear of the tire. So it's really that perfect blend as to providing a little bit more flex and a little bit more traction that given this time of year.
Speaking of perfect blend, I mean, I get the question periodically. You know, a lot of people are snowbirds from up this neighborhood. And a lot of times people would ask me if I thought that they should change their tires before they go south. What's your take on that normally?
When you say so heading down south, I mean, depending on how far you're going and what your travels are looking like, if you're someone that's going to be spending the winter down south, mm-hmm. you may benefit from an all-weather tire where it's not as soft as a winter tire, but it's going to provide you a little bit more traction than an all-season product. It'll have a few more sipes, a few more grooves within the tire to help expel any type of precipitation that's on the roadway. And then that, of course, given the long-distance driving, it'll last you a little bit longer.
Now, David, Triangle, if people don't know the brand, you have fitments for all kinds of different applications, from light truck, passenger cars, all-season, all-weather, summer and winter, of course. But on top of that, you guys offer warranty on your tires.
That's correct. And we have the complete coverage plan, and that can cover anywhere from manufacturer defects and materials, road hazard protection, which is perfect for those curbs and those potholes that we're talking about, added tread life protection. So specific models do have mileage warranties attached to them. And then just for a little bit of added confidence with the consumer, there is a 30-day trial period as well.
So basically, you put them on your car and you're not 100% satisfied, you're going to swap them out for them.
Exactly, yeah. If there's, for whatever reason, if you thought there'd be a little bit more traction or ride comfort, so forth, it's not a road hazard warranty. There is coverage for that, but it's more to the performance of the tire and what your expectations were.
Yeah, I, as a technician, of course, you know, well, you fixed my tire 2 weeks ago. And I went, yeah, there was a nail in it. Now there's another nail in it, okay?
Yeah.
I did take out the one I did find. As much as we recycle, it doesn't mean we throw those nasty nails back out into the parking lot, you know, for you to pick up on your way out. You know, so you get repeat business that way.
That's what I hear tire shops do. They throw nails and screws in front of their shops, right?
Exactly, yeah, something like that.
Well, but it's true, though. I mean, with the amount of construction that's going on in the city all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and you see Buddy's pickup truck with all the crap on the back, and you're going, like, how much of that stuff is going to fall off or blow off?
Well, I've been in one of those situations in California where somebody dumped a bunch of roofing nails on a mountain highway.
As a make-work project?
I'm not quite sure whether it was intentional or otherwise.
I was actually quite glad that I had to learn what a roofing nail was, because I had to explain it to a lady who I tried to assure her that her new tires that she bought yesterday didn't come with this roofing nail.
Now's the time of year, so a lot of tire shops, they actually keep a collection kit at their front counter. So have a peek when you're getting your winter tires changed over. But some of the things that you find puncturing tires is almost mind-blowing. We've seen... You know, cutlery and bolts. It's endless as to what you could see that could be on the roadway. So be mindful of it. Be careful, and it's an added reminder to just double check your tires every now and then, right?
Yeah, well, and you know, this is the time of year for all that. When you know, my winters are already on, and with tire fluctuations, the tire pressures actually change. So you got to stay on top of that as well.
What about time? Yeah. A lot of people talk about, you know, the rubber the composition going down or degrading over time. What, generally speaking, time-wise, how long can we run tires for?
I mean, it depends how you're storing them
over
the winter. But I would say typically you're looking at a 5-year period.
Oh, so they should be good for quite a while.
Yeah, based off the manufacturing process, for sure. It's definitely at least 5 years. Typically, you're going to see tires... the lifespan of the tire anywhere from 3.5 to 5 years, depending on the type of driving and the mileage that you're doing.
So that's why it's important to, you know, have an expert assess your tires, you know, because it's not just a matter of can you see the president's head or whatever that thing was. You know, you stick the coin in there, tell you how deep the tread is. It's also a case of what kind of shape the rubber is still in, whether it's soft and supple or if it's cracked and, you know, about to
For
go.
Sure. And now you could do things to maintain that, right? So maintaining your air pressure is number one, and then vehicle maintenance, alignment, suspension checks, so forth, tire rotations, right? All of these that seem like a hassle at times, they can contribute to the lifespan of your product. So,
all right, quickly, if they want to see you, Triangle Tires, where do they find them?
TriangleTire.ca.
There you go.
That's easy, TriangleTire.ca.
Okay, David, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Thanks again from Gary B. in Scarborough, who loves the tires and loves winning them.
Yeah, he won our contest recently.
Yeah. Yes. All right, take care. Have a good one. We'll talk to you in the spring.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be back with Jack, the tire butler. Find out what that's all about right after this break.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max with Alan Gelman. And at some point, we hope Jack Benzikar from Tire Butler is going to join us.
Exactly. He must be out changing somebody's tires in the driveway.
I heard he might be busy today, so we'll see.
Exactly. And it is a busy time of year for tires.
For the tire business. I mean, Al, you know, in your business, this is a crazy time of year. And people, of course, want their, you know, as soon as there's a forecast of snow, they expect to be able to make time and switch over their tires to winter tires, right?
Exactly. You know, I was by my old shop a couple weeks ago, actually, and it was already busy then, you know, people were calling to make an appointment, you know. Where it gets crazy is where they just show up. And they go, well, I'm here now. And they went, yeah, but sorry, there's 20 cars ahead of you.
Right.
You know, and in all honesty, too, you know, tires are more difficult now because we were talking earlier about the sidewalls, eh? Like, so a 40 or 45 series tire is very, very difficult to change when you would get it off and on the rim.
Oh, yeah.
And a good chance that you can either tear the tire if you're not used to it, mm-hmm. or you can even crack a rim. You've seen that.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, I'm driving the big Genesis SUV mm-hmm. this week, and it's got 22s.
But by what? By 40s?
I don't know, probably 40 or 35.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's super low profile tire, very big tire.
Yeah.
And I would not want to run 22s in the winter in this city with the potholes and everything else.
Now, question, that has some good suspension on it, that car.
It does. It's got a sophisticated suspension, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how sophisticated the suspension is. If there's a pothole that's developed on the road that you normally drive on and it's there one day, you're going to, you know, maybe damage the tire wheel.
Okay, so that fancy suspension, how much of that can it absorb, you know?
It's at the end of the day, it's still a mechanical suspension.
Right.
So there's not much it can do. The majority of that impact is going to be taken by the tire.
Mm. Yeah, right. And in which case, and if you're lucky, maybe it knocks your alignment out a bit or you lose a wheel weight. But on the downside is, no, you tear a tire or crack a rim or both.
Yeah, or damage more suspension components. I mean, it's possible.
And understand that there is a rumor going around that the city will compensate you for that. Chances are slim to zero.
I don't think so.
No, it doesn't normally happen.
I don't think so, no. So you got to be careful. And especially in my neighborhood, there's so much construction going on, and the potholes change daily.
Yes. As a matter of fact, you know, I go up Bridgeland by the Caledonia. My Waze is always telling me that's the best way to go. But they're building a hotel there, and they've ripped up the street, and it's been now for weeks. And, you know, and they've got the metal plates there, and a guy standing there with a sign that says "slow down." Oh my God, it really messes up traffic. You know.
Speaking of which, Al, this morning,
yeah.
A guy's you know shaking his slow sign at me, but then waving for me to drive faster.
Oh, okay.
As if I need encouragement to drive faster, but I couldn't because there was traffic.
No, exactly. In fact, I was just about to do it on Yorkdale Road, which is on that same route.
Right.
And they had caution signs up, and I thought, and cones there, and I thought, I think I could scoot in between the cones, but no, they were changing manholes, as a matter of fact. So there was quite a crevice there.
No.
I don't think my car would have, you know, absorbed, although I have bigger tires, I don't think it would have absorbed that much of a crack.
Yeah, now the where I parked this morning, mm-hmm. To, you know, of course, pick up my coffee. There was a new man-made hole in the road surface, and it was something that if you even put your foot into it, you'd trip. Let alone the damage it would do to your car.
Oh, so man-made? I mean, like a construction crew had been there?
Somebody had been there. They cut a circular hole and didn't fill it in properly.
And no cone.
No.
Oh wow.
No, and it's kind of in the driving lane, too. I'm sure many people have hit it already.
Yeah. Anyways, we've been trying to get a hold of Jack. He's out of town, apparently, and
although he said he was going to be here, and I'm sure maybe Ashley will get him eventually. We'll try this out. But one of the things we wanted to talk about, and I've seen him in my neighborhood, is, you know, we're talking about tire changeover, and it's winter time now. I've seen where people just mounted, you know, little sticky notes on telephone poles saying that I will change your tires for $50.
Yes, that there's a gentleman doing that in my neighborhood too.
But it's a bit of a concern because first of all, you don't know if that person. There's a good chance that he's not a licensed auto mechanic.
Absolutely not.
No,
he's not insured.
No, exactly. So here's the possibilities of things that can go wrong. Of course, number one is that he doesn't mount your tires correctly. In other words, not using a torque wrench, is not checking the hub to see if there's a whole lot of corrosion there, or may not even know how important that is, because guaranteed he's not coming back after 2 days to retorque your nuts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is important to, especially if the person doing them is not familiar with how to do that properly.
Yeah, exactly.
The other issue too, though, is that a lot of cars now have tire pressure monitors.
Yep.
The smartest ones will adapt, and if when you bought your wheels and tires, they were cloned. In other words, they were made to appear as if your original ones were on the car. Then the computer will pick it up. But otherwise, I see a lot of people complaining, you know, my tire light's on and I don't know why.
Exactly.
Well, the guy who's just doing your tires for $50,
yeah,
has nothing to do with that.
And that's not his problem. He's only there to change the tires.
That's right. That's right.
And I guarantee he's not inspecting your brakes or other suspension components either. And whether he's using good tools or lousy tools, who knows?
Yeah, and you get what you pay for. But in this particular case, I mean, having your wheels come off the car at the wrong time is not a good thing.
That's always a bad thing.
Yeah, so for the $20 or $30 more it may possibly cost you, I'd probably go in and have it done professionally.
Well, I would too. And you know, secondly, I've got all those tools, right? I've got everything. Because I've been racing cars for so long, so I've got all this stuff, and I can do it quickly. But there's no way I would do it for $50. No way.
Well, the other thing too, I just forgotten about, is when he lifts your car.
Yeah, is he using the right jack point?
Right, is he lifting up at the right spot? Number one.
Yeah,
and number two, the jack is sitting on your pavement or your interlock. That can be damaged as well, eh?
Mm-hmm. And you know whether he's chalking a wheel, if he's doing the work on a an angled driveway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, I've done it myself. I felt really silly. It was first thing in the morning where I jacked up a car because I got a flat on my own car, and I didn't put on the parking brake, and I thought, uh-oh. And well, of course, as the car's rolling, I went, Al, what? This is embarrassing. I hope there's nobody with a video camera here.
Right.
Taking a picture of me with the car falling off the jack, and thankfully, without me underneath it.
But, yes.
So I did get the wheel off and did realize, too, that you needed it. Oh, and the other thing, too, which is always a pain, especially for a repair facility, is that most cars that have alloy wheels, the dealers have put wheel locks on their car.
Yes.
Certainly you're aware of it with all the BMWs and Mercedes that you drive. They all come with a special socket.
Yep.
And the problem is, you know, you cannot change the wheels without it.
That's right. And a lot of people don't know where their wheel lock is.
Yes. And if it was that thing that was rattling in your glove box that you didn't know and you threw it out, that's a bad thing.
Definitely.
That's the worst kind of answer I ever got. Besides the other one, which is, I don't know, you used it last, so you're... Anyways, this is Dave's Corner Garage. We're having a blast here on Saturday morning, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman, and joining us on the line is Jack Benzikar from Tire Butler. Jack, how are you?
Good, guys. How you doing today?
Very good. We're watching the wind blow, and it's only going to go down about zero tonight, and the high expected of only two or three today. What should people be doing right now?
Calling Tire Butler.
There you go.
Getting your tires on. Should have done it a couple of weeks ago, as soon as the leaves started falling. But we got a lot more trucks on the road now, so there's a lot more availability for the mobile service. Plus, we got that big, huge location on Bridgeland right beside Yorkdale,
so
where everybody can come in.
Exactly, but do slow down at the corner because they got plates on the road. I was talking about it earlier. I don't know why Waze keeps sending me that way, explaining to me that it's the quicker way for me to get to the joint that I'm going to. So that big place you have, you do store tires there.
Yeah, we probably one of the only few companies that actually do all of our own storage on site.
And
go ahead.
All right, so in other words, people, if they've got tires with them, they can bring them to you. You're going to take off their summers, put on their winters, and store their summers for them.
And we store them. So they'll store them in that at the climate-controlled warehouse. They're stored properly. Tires on rims are stacked, and the other non-rim tires are put on racks. And, you know, when you're at that location, generally we can do a on-demand, no appointment required when you're coming to the warehouse.
Or if you're like me and just ridiculously busy and don't have time to drive somewhere, you actually will go to someone's house or office.
That's the main part of it.
Yeah.
We've got a dozen or so trucks on the road. You go online, you book an appointment, you pick the service you want, you buy your tires you want, you buy a package if you want one, and we show up at your house and do it.
Jack, are you actually able to change the tires on the vehicle? Like, obviously,
oh, yeah, we can change them. We can balance them. They everything's built into the truck. It's a mobile tire store.
Perfect. As a matter of fact, we had David Poole on just before from Triangle, and he was explaining how, you know, we were talking about shelf life of tires, and of course he said storage is very important. You want it to last longer. You got to, you know, leave them out of the sun. So this is where something that you guys can do.
Yeah, you don't want any ozone damage on them. So you want to keep them away from any electric motors. You want to keep them away from any constant light. So they're put away in our climate controlled warehouse. They're stored the proper way. They're inflated, rebalanced. Anything required to keep them in good operating condition, and it'll extend the lifetime of the tire. I mean, you know, driving does more damage to a tire than storage, but you know. Good storage practices will help the longevity.
And I'm sure too that, you know, when your technician is removing someone's summer or winter tires, at that point, do they actually look at the other ones and assess what they're going to need down the road?
Yeah. They're actually scanned and they're measured. We have some digital scanners and we have traditional scanners. They're measured. They're any damage or any wear is measured and indicated, and you'd get a report if you want one. And you know what? All your whatever tires you're switching over, you'll have a proper report for. And then come the following season, as you know, you always want to put your best tires on the back, no matter what type of, whether it's a front wheel drive or all wheel drive. And you know, we'll always make sure that we rotate them to the best possible position.
Yeah, although it's funny because Brian's always driving these hypercars, or and where the tire sizes are different front and rear.
They are. I tend to wear out the rear tires a lot.
Yeah, in that case, there's not much you can do. But on unlike most of us pedestrian drivers, we'll have to. We can do it.
Excellent. And if you've got good traction, then you know if the pedestrian does step in front of you, at least your car can come to a stop.
Exactly, and that's why everybody should be changing now, because it's you know, it's a lot of people with all-wheel drive vehicles, they I don't get stuck, but it's accidents don't happen accelerating. They happen stopping and turning.
Exactly.
And many people, it takes them a while and sometimes an expensive lesson to learn that.
Now, we were talking about just the cheapo guy who puts a sticker up and comes and does them in your driveway without any kind of equipment or training. We were talking about that earlier and how we're advising people not to go that route.
Yeah, it's a concern lately. We were sort of the disruptors of this industry a long time ago, and you know, we've been growing exponentially, and a lot of companies are trying to, you know, they just get a minivan and go to your house and charge you $20 or $50. But so much can go wrong, and you know, they'll say they have insurance and they don't have insurance. We've had a couple issues now with people trying to pretend they were us. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you can't afford to put a logo on your truck, you definitely can't afford to buy proper insurance. You know, and that's a big issue because they're you know, tires are the most complicated things on a vehicle, and they need to be done right. And we've seen a lot of we've had mishaps. I mean, we've made mistakes. Any garage or anybody tells you they didn't would be lying. And, you know, if we didn't have proper insurance and proper training, it'd be worse.
No, I try to explain to people too that, you know, if the wheel, you know, is inspected, you know, both the rotor hub and the back of the wheel, you take care of any extra corrosion that may be there. You know, you limit your chances of something going wrong, eh?
Oh, for sure. You know if anything's wrong. I mean, listen, you can have a little fleck. If you don't clean those hubs properly, you can have the best balancers in the world, and the car will seem like it's unbalanced because the mating surface is not flush, and that gives you false torques at times as well.
Exactly.
A lot of times you have wheel off situations because it wasn't because the bolts weren't tightened properly; it's they weren't tightened properly in the correct way. And that's what gives you wheel off situations.
All right, Jack, speaking of wheel off, our time is up. And if
all
people
right,
need
guys.
To get, if looking for Butler service, how do they get it?
TireButler.com.
And either book an appointment, they'll come to your house, or even quicker, you can go there.
Yeah, either way. We come to you, we save you time. You come to us, we save you money. There you go.
That's perfect.
Tire Butler, make sure to check them out. Thanks, Jack. Have a good weekend.
Sorry for the technical difficulties, guys.
No worries. No problem.
All right, cheers. Bye-bye.
I'm hoping the wheels stayed on his airplane.
Well, I think they did. He landed safely.
Oh, I did see they showed one from Pearson, though. A bad landing, but they didn't hear talk about it again. They said it was wind shear.
Sure it was.
We got to run. Thanks, everybody, for joining in today. Brian, have yourself a great week.
You too, Al.
Everybody drive safe and make sure to get those tires changed. We'll see you next week, everyone.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.